to all of you. Rav Shai, do you want to say a few words of introduction?
Yes, so...
Who are these wonderful girls sitting here?
Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for making time to come. It's a tremendous chus for all of us to have the opportunity to spend private time here together and to really get a glimpse of greatness and to bask in the glory of what greatness really means. It's not an opportunity you're going to have many times in your life, and that's why I thought we should take advantage as best as we could. So, for me, this is very special. I hope for you it's special. To be your teacher is, of course, an opportunity for me, but to introduce my teacher to my students is something that I feel is an extra special privilege. So, really, take advantage. One of you sent in on behalf of a number of the members of the group some really beautiful and well-thought-out questions, well-formulated questions, but if there's other things that come up in the discussion, everyone should feel very comfortable to, in this setting.
So I'm happy to see you all, and we are very privileged to have Rabbi Schechter as a teacher. He's one of my most precious Talmidim, and a great teacher of Torah. So I think you should thank Hashem that you have this opportunity. So I just got this sheet with the questions, and I want to start from the last question, and then we'll move up. Does the Rav have any suggestions of what we can do how now to prepare for being future mothers and wives, Emir Hashem, in relation to Chinuch HaBonim and Sholem Bayis? Ksav Sofer was one of the greatest Gedolim going back almost 200 years. The son of the Chatam Sofer notes that in the mitzvah to teach our children Torah, v'limadetem oisam es b'neichem. Oisam is written without a vav. It could be read as atem, lo otam. And his comment is, the greatest way to teach and to inspire is by being an example and a role model. So Winston Churchill once said, I love to learn, but I hate being taught. And that is a sentiment many young people have. Sometimes we love to learn, but we don't like being taught, and we don't like to be told what to do and how to do it. So the greatest way to inspire our children and our students is not always by preaching to them, but just being a wonderful person and setting an example for them to follow. So regarding Chinuch HaBonim, it is who you are and how you live that will be the ultimate way to raise, to teach, to inspire your children, your students, and coming generations. There are some cookies on the table, and there's a bottle of schnapps in there. So today, by Mincha, just a few moments ago, I said the last Kaddish of 11 months of my mother's passing. So my mother passed away at the age of 93, 11 months ago, and the Mincha I daven today is the last Mincha that I daven, and the last Kaddish that I said in her memory. I hope I will say many more Kaddishim on her Yahrzeit for many, many years to come. But the custom, the minig, to say Kaddish 11 months came to an end today. So I want to tell you a bit about my late mother. And it should be Le'ilui Nishmosa. She was an outstanding personality. Great in many ways. Holocaust survivor. And many times she told us the story when she arrived in Auschwitz together with 30 family members, they were all sent right, and she was the only one sent left. Father, mother, grandfathers, grandmothers, siblings, they were all sent to the gas chambers. She was the only one sent to life, but she was terrified. And in a split second, when she thought nobody is seeing, she ran the other way in the direction of her entire family. A Nazi ran after her, punched her in the face, threw her to the ground in the other direction. She was hurt, she was dazed, and by the time she got up, she no longer saw anyone of her family. They were all gone. Bal korchacha atochai, Chazal teaches. Against her will, brokenhearted, she went to life. She survived the war, married my late father, passed away 11 months ago. And the day of her passing, she left more than 500 descendants. And many times she used to say, that is my revenge. That's my nakama in the Nazis. So Ashgocha Protis is not always that obvious. A little girl trying to run to be together with her mom and her dad and her family, brutally hurt and sent the other way, torn from her family. It was to be. She was destined to leave over 500 descendants of Beis Yisrael, and I am one of them, one of her seven children, one of her seven boys. And she was an outstanding personality. I can speak a lot about her, but we don't have that much time. One of the most striking, obvious personality traits should she have, she was always happy, wonderful disposition, always grateful. Grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and grateful to anyone she knew, to her family. I don't know whether many of you have elderly grandparents, but many times elderly people by nature are not doing very well. They have ailments and struggles. Sometimes they're grouchy, and sometimes we need to pressure our children, please go visit Zaidi, go visit Bubby. You know, they're lonely. But in our family, everybody wanted to visit Bobby because it was a pleasure and there was so much to learn from her. And she never complained. When people used to ask her, how are you doing? She had a sense of humor and she used to say, my feet no longer carry me and I have difficulty with my left arm. I don't see that well, but I'm doing great. My eyes aren't, my arms aren't, this is, but that's not me. I'm doing wonderful. And she was always so thankful. She always felt thankful and close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She was very learned, very wise, and she had some wonderful thoughts in Divrei Torah which she liked to share. And when everyone came to visit, you either needed to say a Dvar Torah, and if you didn't, you had to listen to one. So you could choose. Do you want to listen, or do you want to preach? But you couldn't go out without a Dvar Torah. Either listening to one, or sharing one. So many times she used to say, when we recite Kriya Shema, so both in the morning and in the evening, there are two brachas that are introduction to Kriya Shema. The second bracha starts with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love of his children, of Am Yisrael. So Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Sfarad, it's either Ahav or Rabo, Ahavtonu, Hashem Elokeinu, or Ahavas Oilam, Ahavtonu, Hashem Elokeinu. And at Tfilazavis, it is Ohev Amo Yisroel. So my mother used to say, why is this bracha right before Kriya Shema? Because after we say Shema Yisroel, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echod, the first posik is the mitzvah of loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yohavto, es Hashem Elokecho, v'chol levavcho, v'chol nafshecho, v'chol mo'edecho. How could one achieve the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Many struggle with the concept because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is abstract. We don't see Him. We don't touch Him. We don't hear His voice. You've got to feel Him, because the other senses wouldn't apply. So how could we achieve love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So my mother used to say, if we truly feel and appreciate how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, it is so easy and so natural to reciprocate and to love Him. And that is why, before saying V'yohavto as Hashem Elokecha, we say how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, Ahav Asoylam Ahavtonu, Ahav Urabo Ahavtonu, and then we are Meyachid Shem Shemayim. We say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod, and then V'yohavto as Hashem Elokecha v'chol levavcho, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your possessions, and with all your midos. V'chol ma'idecho is two different interpretations. So before going to your questions, I want to wish all of you a life of fulfillment, meaning, happiness. When time comes, you should all find, each and every one of you, a wonderful chosen, and build beautiful, wonderful homes in Israel. And you should raise generations for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You should all live very long lives, and Mashiach should come during your lifetime. And if not, you should leave at least 500 descendants. So let's go to the questions. Oh, I know that it's the last minute, but a bunch of girls. What does a bunch of girls mean? Ask me to send some questions. What does the Rav think about Aliyah? If it would mean giving up a chinuch opportunity in America. Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael is one of the greatest mitzvahs. The Rambam, Rav Shai told me that these are learned girls, and you could speak to them in halacha, so I'm not going to give you a shiur in halacha now. But the Rambam omits the mitzvah of Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael from the list of Tariyag mitzvahs. The Ramban has it, but the Rambam does not, which causes a lot of confusion to the commentators. Many assume that according to the Rambam, there is no mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. In my Svarim, I wrote a fundamental yesod, an assumption. Some of the most central and important ethical values are not necessarily included in the list of Tariyag mitzvahs. And I want to give two examples. Tefillah. The Rambam counts tefillah as one of the Tariyag mitzvahs. The Ramban does not. Could one assume that according to the Ramban, you could be a good Jew without ever davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? To me, that would be outrageous, not only unreasonable, but absurd. How could it be a good Jew without ever talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Yes, everybody agrees that Kriya Shema is in the list, but Kriya Shema is not talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is accepting, taking upon ourselves Olam Malchus Shamayim. Women are exempt from the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. Could anyone be a good Jew without ever talking to a Kodesh Baruch, without ever asking a Kodesh Baruch for his mercy? It's ridiculous. So how do we know tefillah is a mitzvah according to the Ramban? The Rambam learns the mitzvah of tefillah from the Pasuk in Parshas Ekev, Va'avadeta es Hashem Elokecha. The Ramban maintains Va'avadeta Hashem Elokecha is a general mitzvah. It affects all the tariyag. Your service of a Kodesh Baruch Hu should come from the depth of your hearts. That is the interpretation of the Ramban. So according to the Ramban, how do we know the importance of tefillah? Because Avraham Avinu davened Tikkun Shachris. So did Yitzchak. Ve'yetzi Yitzchak l'suach besod. So did Yankov. And we are to emulate what our forefathers did. So it goes without saying. Everybody agrees that tefillah is one of the pillars of Yiddishkeit. It is one of the most fundamental ethical values. Chinuch, as future mothers, is anything more important than chinuch rabbonim? So in Lamdes, in Aloha, chinuch is a mitzvah de rabbonim. Does that mean that min ha-Torah, you bring children to the world, and you don't teach them? You're not mechanech them? You don't instill in their tender hearts Ahavas Hashem and Yiras Hashem? Could that be? Ridiculous. So how do we know there's a mitzvah of chinuch? Because the pasuk says, Ki yodativ. Does anybody remember where this pasuk is? Whom does it refer to? Ki yodatev lamana sheyetzav abona vebeiso yachlo v'shamru derach Hashem. Avraham Avinu and Parshas V'yera. And Rashi says ki yodatev is a lashon of love. I love Avraham. Kodesh Baruch Hu has so many reasons to love Avraham Avinu. He was the first that found a Kodesh Baruch Hu out of nowhere without being taught. Chazal say he observed all the Tariag mitzvahs many generations before they were given. But the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Avraham is Leman Asher Yitzav Bona Vebeis Ve'achol. It is from here that we know every father, every mother, the supreme obligation is passing the torch to the coming generation and being mechanech of children. But neither the Rambam nor the Ramban doesn't have it in the list of Tariag, because Ki Yodativ is not a command. It is binding, but it's not a command. And the same refers to Yishuv Eretz Yisrael according to the Rambam. How do we know it's important? Because this is the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised to Avraham. Lezaracho etei nesa oretz azois. This is the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Yitzchak. And once again to Yaakov. Do we need more than that to know that Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah for every generation? So Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a great mitzvah. But if there is something that overrides Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, it is chinuch rabbonim. So the question is phrased, what does the Rav think about Aliyah if it would mean giving up a chinuch opportunity in America? And this question is twofold. Giving up an opportunity to teach in America, and to many young couples, coming to Eretz Yisrael is somewhat of a risk to your children. And Eretz Yisrael, not always do we have the proper institutions, educational system, and many young couples coming to Eretz Yisrael paid a terrible price in the chinuch of their children. So I think if you have an opportunity to teach Torah and Yiddishkeit in Chutz Laretz, that justifies staying in America. And if in any way you need to risk the chinuch of your children, that justifies staying in America. For thousands of years of exile, most of the great gedolim did not do aliyah. And I think each and every one of them felt the burden they carried in as a sort of care for their communities, for the Am Shebagoylo, was so huge and so central. With their love of Eretz Yisrael, they decided to stay in Chutz Lars to care for their flock. So Aliyah is definitely a great mitzvah, but an opportunity to engage in chinuch would justify staying in Chutz Lars. And if in any way you would be risking the chinuch of your children, justify staying in Chutz Lars. Rav Shai, if you have any comments, please, you could voice them. What does the Rav think about reading secular books about self-help, mental health? You need to be very careful about what you read. But when there is a ta'elis, we definitely could read secular books. Chazal say, someone will tell you, Yesh Torah begoyim al ta'amin, Yesh Chochma begoyim ta'amin. And the Rambam was the greatest teacher of his age and of many ages to come, writes in Hilchos HaKiddush HaChodesh that whatever he knows about astronomy is from secular sources. And the Rambam writes, Kabel Emes Memisha Amro. It's hard for me to imagine a good doctor that only learned Gemara and Poskim. So obviously, without going to medical school and without learning secular sources, there are so many things that you can't do for the community. And sometimes mental health is no different than physical health. But you do need to be careful what texts you're reading, because many times in psychiatry, psychology, there are some ideas that are not compatible with Torah values. But as a general rule, we definitely will utilize secular studies and secular books to advance our understanding in treating or dealing with mental health issues or other issues as well. What does the Rav think we can do about mental health issues in our community? Should the response be more open conversations or more private help? And my answer is more open conversation and more private help. Both. Baruch Hashem, we reach the stage in which we recognize the issue of mental health and we no longer try to hide it under the rug, and we understand that as human beings we have some struggles that human beings have in every camp, every denomination, in as much that we're human. So when I was growing up, when I was a young boy, we tried to ignore mental health issues. We tried to hide the kids in the closet or under the rug. That was devastating. We need to understand that just like there are physical ailments, there are mental ones as well. And we need to have more openness, more open discussions, dealing with preventation to prevent illness, problems. We need to be more open in early detection before things become too severe and out of hand. We need more openness and more open conversations and more private help. The most important thing is recognizing and being able to define and going out of our way to help these children. Some segments of our community, when a child is born and he's not the perfect child, whether it's Down syndrome or other syndromes, we all want perfect children. It is the dream of every individual. We all want our children to be smart and beautiful and healthy. but not all of us are. And that is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to be. But every child deserves the love of his parents and the support of his community. Some segments of our community, these children are not taken home, and they're left to be put into institutions or foster homes. And I think that is so wrong. I don't want to use harsh language, because Chazal teaches al tod neschavecha shetegia lemekoymai. And in some families, the child will be better off being elsewhere. But as a general attitude, all our children deserve the love of a family and the support of our community. In my shul, in a very short period, 3 children were born with Down syndrome. Some of the parents contemplated, and I advised them all, take the child home. And they're all so happy that they did so. And sometimes it brings out the best in the other children. Loving and being so close to someone that is different teaches you something about life and about human beings. And the other children grow up with wonderful midas, to know what it means to care for another, to accept another that is not as fortunate as we are. So I think that we need far more open discussion addressing these issues and a lot of private help and attention. What does the Rav think is the proper way for a single girl to have a kesher with a Rav, feeling comfortable to ask shayas but still maintaining boundaries? This is a very important question, but it is a question that the Rabbonim need to ask more than the girls do, but it's good that the girls ask as well. We could all benefit from the kesher with a great Talmud Chacham. We could all benefit from having a personal relationship with the Rav, but it means we need to set very, very clear boundaries. What is legitimate and what is not. What could be done and what not. First thing is, we all need to be makbed on Hilchas Yichud. And Yichud, to some people, they're not really totally observant and weren't steeped in chinuch. To some secular Jews and to some Gentiles, it seems to be so crazy and so remote. What are you afraid of? You can't be with a girl in the same room. What are you, out of your mind? Most of us could be with a girl in the same room. However, kamo gedolim divrei chachamim. And if you don't set boundaries, awful things sometimes happen. So I do encourage young girls like you to have a kesher with a Rav. You have so much to gain and so much to benefit. But I trust real Talmidei Chachamim to know where to set the boundaries and what is okay and what crosses those boundaries. I don't think I can go into many more details, but this is just a general feeling, and which is very, very important. What does the Rav think about chinuch leaders and Rabbeim connecting with people through social media? So could we wish that social media was never born? Maybe yes, but it's here. And obviously it's here to stay. And if we don't use social media to teach and to inspire, that doesn't mean that social media will go away. It won't go away. And people still will be connected. So if they're connected, we might as well take advantage of every form of technology to reach out to people, to inspire and bring them closer. So probably digital technology caused more harm than good in many, many different areas. And the modern world and digital technology is not only exposure to pornography, it is also exposure to kfira and apocrisis and so many bad ideas and questions. And it is bad in so many levels. Even if a young boy or a young girl is not exposed to anything awful, but it is a distraction. And every mechanech knows that it negatively affects the learning abilities of young boys and girls. It affects their attention span. And I hear from mechanechim, I can no longer give a shiur. Very choshev a mechanech in Israel teaches in a seminar. He says, years ago, I taught the girls Mesilas Yesharim. Now we could learn 45 minutes and everybody was attentive and listening. He says, today it's impossible. After 5 minutes, they're all over and they're not listening and they're not concentrating. And that is one of the results of digital technology and social media. So I once heard a joke. I don't very often tell jokes, but sometimes it's relevant. You know, husband and wife get on the bus, sit next to each other. Each of them takes out his smartphone and starts, and the person walks over to them and tells the husband, you're sitting next to your wife. Maybe talk to your wife. What are you busy with the whole world? You have an opportunity to sit together. And he says, whom do you think I'm texting? Texting my wife. So people no longer know how to converse. They no longer know how to talk, and they no longer know how to listen. So maybe we should wish it was never to be, but it's here. So I definitely would not introduce social media in schools in which girls are not exposed to social media. We would be far better off without it. But in those sectors of our community in which people are connected, we might as well take advantage and try to use it, utilize every tool in a positive way. What is the proper way for a Jew to live life in an overexposed world? So let me share a thought with you at Dvar Torah. Every Jewish home could be and should be a base mikdash. It's a Gemara Masechet Seita. Ish v'isha shezachu shechina shruya b'nayhem. So we need to try to turn our homes into sanctuaries. Beis Mikdosh Ma'at. How do we do that? So many times I explained, and I also wrote it in my Sforum, the Avodah of the Beis Mikdosh centers around three central kelim. All the others are supplementary. Could anybody guess what are the three most important kelim in the Beis Mikdosh? What are the three? The big three.
Ark.
What?
The Ark.
No.
Menorah.
Menorah is one.
Mizbeach.
Two. How many Mizbeachas were there?
Two.
Why were there two Mizbeachas?
Outside, one was inside. One was right.
Outside where? And inside where? One was in the Heichal, and the other was in the Azorah. And what is number three? Right. Why not the Oren? The Oren is more important than anything, but there was no Avoida in the Oren. It was in Kodesh HaKodesh. Only once a year did the Kohen Gadol go in there. But the three others are day to day. Every day at Lucas Anedis, every day Ketores, every day Karbonas, every Shabbos Lechem Aponim. What do these three indicate? You all remember the Mishnah at the beginning of Masechet Tovas, al shloisha dvorim oilam oimed, al ha-toira, al ha-avoida, or gemel ha-schor sodim. Could you fit the three kalim to the three fundamentals? So what does Menorah take?
Torah.
Kiner mitzvah v'teira or. What does the Mizbeach take? Obviously, avoida. The tefillahs are keneged karbonis. What's left for the shulchan? Chesed. It's not only a process of elimination. The shulchan indicates echmasas arachem and gemilis chasodim. So who are the koyanim in each and every Jewish home, husband and wife, they are the Kohanim. And every home that is dedicated to Torah, Avodah, and Chesed is a Beis Mikdash. How about the Leviim? Beis Mikdash has Leviim as well. I would be surprised if any of you know what is the duty of the Leviim in the Beis Mikdash. What do they do?
They sing.
What?
They sing.
Music and? What? Gatekeepers. Great. I'm very in the spot. So the Leviim had two cores, two duties. They were the gatekeepers, and they gave song. Every Jewish home needs gatekeepers? Yes. The Leviim were in charge, and they were standing next to the gates, who comes in and who stays out. A Jewish home needs gatekeepers. Who comes in, who stays out. In our times, even more important, what comes in and what stays out. And we would not like to expose our children to everything that is available. That's horrible. So we need Leviim and not only Kohanim. But many times I say walls, moats, historically, were never very successful and very effective of keeping the enemy out or keeping them confined within the walls. If you want to get out, find a way out. You could dig tunnels under the walls, you could scale walls, you could breach walls. We need to build walls around our homes. But if the children won't be happy within, they will find a way out. And that is the other duty of the Leviim. They supply the simcha of the Avodas HaMikdash. So the Leviim played the music, they gave the song, and they made Avodas Beis HaMikdash, a Avodah that was full of simcha. And every Jewish home needs Leviim and not only Kohanim. So yes, we need to build walls, and we need to do our utmost to safeguard our children and not to expose them to everything that's available. But walls are never enough. We need the other facet of Avodas Leviim as well. We need the simcha. And the home of a Ben Torah should be the merriest, happiest home in the world. There's no reason it should not be. What does that have to think about co-ed programs, especially for college-age students who volunteer for the community like NCSY or Chinuch Fellowship? I definitely am totally opposed to co-ed programs. So in the context of Kiruv, sometimes there is no other way, because otherwise you can't bring people to expose them to Torah, to mitzvahs, to our way of life. But I definitely think we should separate boys from girls as far as we can. I related a few minutes ago to the relationship and the kesher between girls and rabbeim. It definitely is far more important in keeping youngsters from not interacting in an exaggerated way. What does that think about couples getting married young and relying on their parents for finances? Should this affect when someone starts dating? If they should start or if their marriage if they should start of their marriage learning. If I understand the question properly, this is a combination of several questions. At what age should we date? Is it important? What does the last part mean? If they should start of their marriage learning? Who sent this question? What? Is it important that a young man learns in Kailo?
I assume that's the question?
At the beginning.
So I told you a bit about my mother before. So my mother used to quip. She used to say, I know why you guys are writing the Ksuba in Aramaic, because you don't want us to know what's in there. But we do happen to know. And you don't live up to your creed. And not always do you practice what you preach. Because in the Ksuba it's written, Anu Eflach Ve'ezon Ve'afanes Yasichi. Translated, I will provide and I will work and I will take care of you. And then you expect us to go out to work and provide for you. That's not written in the Ksuba. So it's one of my mother's things. She didn't like the fact that everybody is sitting and learning and the young woman need to work so hard. But that is the way a large part of our community lives. I do think it's extremely important that a young couple starts its journey with the husband sitting and learning. I think it's very important. It is the basis of a home. It is the fundament of a home. And it's so important starting off a life with a real massive dose of Talmud Torah. However, never in Jewish history did we expect everyone to dedicate all his life to learning Torah. Not all our children were destined to be great scholars. It is not recognizing human nature to expect all our children to be scholars. No society in the world has all its members as scholars. It's not a bezoyan to work and to provide for your family. It's a covet and not a bezoyan. So those that really could be great teachers of Torah, those that were destined to be Marbitzei Torah and Morei Hora'ah, they should dedicate their lives to learning. And they should be supported by the community. But the majority, at some stage, should provide for their families. So many of our young girls and young married women are in the workforce, are working. And that is okay. In our modern day and age, sometimes you need more than one provider to keep the family going. However, every young man should feel the responsibility for caring and for providing for his family. Is it okay about couples getting married young and relying on the parents for finances? Depends who your parents are, how they feel about it. You should never feel that your parents owe you their support after you're married. So many parents are happy to be helpful, and that is great. And if your parents want to support you, you can receive that support. But the feeling of young men, I am entitled to learn and my parents are obliged, they must help me, is a terrible mistake. I once spoke to a young Talmud Chacham. His father was an old man and he was still going to the office to work every day. And when asked, why are you doing this? You're 80 years old. He said, I must, because my son is learning and he has no one to help him. And I turned to his son and I asked him, don't you think it's about time your father should leave his job and have some menuchas and nefesh? And I was shocked when the young man told me, I think my father is living and he's well, and the merit that he's supporting me. If I would hear that from the father, I would be moved. The old man would tell me, I believe that I have arichas yamim because I'm supporting my son. But to hear that from the young man, I was terribly dismayed. It's awful. You should look for a panasa and enable your old father to have some shalva, some simchas achayim. So the feeling of entitlement, our parents must support us, is a mistake, and it is not alpi Torah. But if your parents are happy to support you and they want you to sit and learn, that's totally fine with me. So I do think it's important to start off life learning. Practically, I would suggest don't wait too long to date, because then some of you might be on my list. I need to daven every day for Zivugim. And so I would suggest don't wait too long till you start dating. But it all depends on the society in which you live and grow up. So I went to all the questions, and I think our time is up. We need to be going. I want to once again wish you and your families, first of all, aksiva v'chasim et tayva. You should have a good gebenstior. This coming year should be a year of fulfillment, simchas chayim, and you should come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You should find wonderful chasanim, if you're up to it, if you are of age, which I don't know, but ultimately, you should all find wonderful chasanim and build a bayis neman and a bayis godel b'Yisrael. Have a wonderful year, and aksiva v'chasim et tayva. We're going, right? 3:30.